Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to be in Colossians most of the night. We'll turn to a couple other passages. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read a few verses of Scripture, and then we'll kind of go through the rest of them, starting in verse 1. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiment of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this church, and we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time that we have together. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts, challenge us, and dear my Father, that you might be glorified and lifted up. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to talk tonight about walking safely on the danger trail. Walking safely on the danger trail. Never forget when I was a young teenager, Pastor Griffin was my youth pastor, and we took a trip to Mount Rainier. And Pastor Griffin had some pretty wild youth activities, and this particular time, being the experienced hiker that I was, I wore a bomber jacket and a set of cowboy boots. And that was my hiking apparel. And it was a youth activity, and we all started at the park at the bottom of Mount Rainier. And we weren't climbing all the way to the top. There was just a trail. It was supposed to take a few hours. And being the experienced hiker that I was, with my cowboy jacket or my cowboy boots and bomber jacket, I had it was Seattle Seahawks, and I still have the coat today. My wife won't let me wear it. And it's one of those that might get lost eventually. But I'll never forget. We started hiking, and very early on, I remember thinking that cowboy boots were not hiking boots. And so they were really cool. I looked very stylish. I had a big, large belt buckle. And keep in mind it was out west. So we started hiking. And I wasn't in the last group, because the last group was a part of the people that like TV and video games a little more, and they weren't used to the great outdoors. But I was in the middle, and there was a kid named Tyler Davis. He's a youth pastor now too. I was with him, and we were hiking. And obviously you had the cool kids that had all the hiking apparel and the hiking sticks, and they had more money than brains. They were kind of ahead of things. So here's the thing: as we start hiking up Mount Rainier, and I'll never forget, we get to this one spot, and the cool kids in the front thought it would be funny to mix up the markers. And so we get to this one spot, and we didn't know where the trail was. I see markers over there. Let's head that direction. Me and Tyler kind of took off. Well, we started hiking up this spot, and we realized that we were no longer on the easy trail. And the trail got kind of dangerous, at one point in time, Tyler decided that he thought he seen the group over off in the distance. And I'm like, Tyler, man, I tell you what, that's dangerous. And I look, and there was a stream, bunch of snow, and then the stream poking out the other side, and he's going to cross that. And I'm like, Tyler, man, I tell you what, I don't want to be on TV, you know? And he took off and he made it. And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm not as light as Tyler. I'm not trying it. I'm keeping on the path. And it got to the point where I was crawling up the trail because it got so steep. And I remember the trail kind of doing a 90, and there was a cliff on the one side. And finally, a set of experienced hikers came up behind me. And they were asking me, "What in the world are you doing on this trail?" And I'm like, "That's a good question. It's all because of my youth pastor." You know, those guys are evil. And anyways, and so I remember I was praying, I was singing, I was promising the Lord everything, you know, just trying, "Hey, if you'll just get me off Mount Rainier safe, I'll give my life to you, you know. Everything is yours, Lord. My life, Lord, is yours to control." Yeah, everything's going on. And I tell you what, we were hiking and the couple was like, "We can't leave you here." And we're like, "Tell you what, we'll help you along the trail. Eventually, hopefully, we can run across somebody." And I tell you what, it seemed like hours. And it was starting to get dark. And next thing you know, here was a ranger came up on a snowmobile. And I tell you what, I was never so happy to see a ranger in all my life. And I got on the back of the snowmobile and took me back. And would you believe it? Under the direction of my youth pastor, they ate all the food. And anyway, so I missed dinner, and everybody feels sorry for me, I know. But see, here's the thing. Obviously, I've missed many meals since then. But anyways, when it comes down to it, the thing about it is there were some dangerous trails. Tell you what, it didn't seem like my youth pastor was too worried about the fact that I was dangerous trails. He's like, "Where were you? We ate all the food. Come on, let's go." And anyways, we almost left you. But here's the thing is, when it comes down to dangerous trails, here's the thing is, Paul is very concerned for the Colossian Christians. We look in verse 1, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for the many that have not seen my face in the flesh." Now, here's the thing is, Paul is very concerned for the Christians. Now, here's the thing is, if you didn't recognize the name Laodicea, we've been studying Revelations with Pastor Sunday mornings. And turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And we'll kind of see these Laodiceans and see what kind of people they are here in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write." So here we're about ready to learn about these Laodiceans. "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased in goods, and have need of nothing, and knowing not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire." And so here's the thing is, we see in Revelation here the directions the Laodiceans took. Now listen, when it comes down to it, a pastor is a very unique individual with a very unique perspective. And so here's the thing is a pastor is someone who God has given wisdom and who has seen the path of many people. And so when it comes down to it, pastors are people with vision. This is why the Bible says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." All throughout the Scripture, God uses the pastor to direct and to guide people. Here, Paul is concerned for the Colossian church, and the Bible says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you." And for them at Laodicea. So here's the thing is, you have the Colossians and the Laodiceans with this same great conflict, and we've seen how the Laodiceans handle things. And so when it comes down to it, Paul was concerned with the Colossians also. And basically we see in verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." There's a warning of enticements about sin and error. There's a warning. Paul's saying, "Hey, listen, you're about ready to go through a great conflict. There is danger on the trail. Listen, there are times where people want to entice you to lead you off the trail. There's going to be times where the markers for the path are not clear. You have to trust in the Word of God. You have to trust in the preaching of God's Word. You have to trust in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And listen, when it comes down to it, there's a dangerous trail ahead. I'm warning you because I don't want to see you to wind up in the wrong area." You know, here's the thing is, the key word in this chapter is found in verse 8. The Bible says, "Beware, lest any man spoil you. Here's the thing is Paul is saying, listen, Corinthian church, there is dangers ahead, but there is a secret of safety. Basically, we're going to look at that tonight. And basically, the thing about it is there are secrets for a safety on the journey. And Paul here in this passage is outlining how to handle or walking safely on the danger trail. Number one is, walk as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. And so here's the thing is, listen, when it comes down to it, it's important for us to stay close to the conversion experience. It's important for us to remember when we got saved. It's important to remember where we were and what Christ made us when we got saved. Because here's the thing is, too many times, listen, I was saved as just a young boy. And thankfully, my parents and my church and many people around me, hey, when was it that you got saved? I remember singing in the youth group. It was on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That must have been the hand of the Lord. You know, here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, what were they trying to do? They were trying to encourage us to stay close to our conversion experience. Here's the thing is, why? Because you know what? When we got saved, remember how serious sin seemed. Well, listen, before we got saved, we were on our way to hell. That sin was condemning us to hell. And so, listen, I'll be honest with you. It seems like the longer we're Christians, the more easy it is to gloss over sin. The more easy it is to realize, because here's the thing is, sin is an offense against the mighty God. Sin is an offense against the holy God. And listen, when we stay close to our conversion experience, when we realize that, hey, listen, you know what, I got saved gloriously from sin, what happens is, you know what, sin seems as serious as it really is. You know, too many times we get influenced by the world, and the world says, you know what, listen, it's not that bad. We're going to rename it. It's an alternate lifestyle. You know what? Here's the thing. It's not murder. It's abortion. And listen, it's not, you know, it's just shacking up together. It's just, you know, and here's the thing is, too many times we allow the world, we let the TV influence us. We let Hollywood help us. We let Hollywood influence us and try and establish our morals. You know, here's the thing is, I get a kick out of how many Hollywood stars think that they should influence us on where to vote. I'm sorry, you can't even stay married for more than 2 minutes, it seems. You know what? How am I going to get life advice from you? You know, the thing about it is that you're so immoral on the television. You don't know the first thing about what God wants or having the mind of Christ. You know what? The born-again Christian shouldn't get our lifestyle, shouldn't get our opinions from Hollywood and the television. And listen, when it comes down to news, don't crucify me, but I think it's fake. And so, listen, when it comes down to it, we ought to get our lifestyle and the way we live from this book right here. But I'll be honest with you, here's the thing is, we're daily, constantly bombarded and being influenced by the world. And so this is why, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe for a moment that it is possible for a Christian to live the successful Christian life and attend one service a week. Don't think it's possible. I know for a fact I couldn't do it. I'd start backsliding if I miss one. And so when it comes down to it, I remember Lee Robertson in his 90s, three to thrive. And here's the thing is, by the way, we can't live a successful Christian life if we're not in this book. And listen, when it comes down to it, I'm not talking about just reading it every now and then. I'm not talking about reading just a few verses. I'm talking about reading it and studying it and applying it to our lives and saying, Lord, I want something today. And you know what? There are times where we got to say, Lord, I'm not going to quit reading until you speak to me. And listen, when it comes down to it, we're not just reading for commitment. We're reading because, hey, we want to speak to the very God of heaven. We want our mark. marching orders. But listen, I tell you what, we'll watch the television until we find something we like. We just won't keep on reading until we find something that applies to our lives. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, too many times we're staying close to our favorite television show, or we're staying close to our favorite star, or we're staying close. And here's the thing is, what happens is the TV, the world bombards us with ideas and philosophies. I tell you what, you know what? It's saddening to me to see parents across America that have been influenced by the world, and their children are just running amok, and they don't even realize it because they're not in the Word of God. And here's the thing is, I think, what's the next generation going to be if we don't train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? I mean, what's going to happen? Here's the thing is, we've already seen what happens when we let them kick and scream in the grocery store. I remember as a kid, my mom and dad used to point out, there'd be some kid screaming, I want a candy. And they were flopping themselves on it. Oh, you know, it's okay. Time out. And all this other stuff that the world pumped them full of. And I remember my parents telling them, see that? You better thank God you're not like that. And I tell you what, those same kids are the ones looting and rioting and tearing apart the stores because, you know what? They didn't learn what was right and wrong. And here's the thing is, it keeps on getting worse. So what in the world, what kind of America are we going to have when we just have no direction, when we give these kids no direction at all? When we just let them do whatever they want? I think we're getting a glimpse of that in America. If the Lord tarries, we're in a world of hurt in America. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to get back to thinking sin is serious. And by the way, how we do that is we get back to our conversion experience. We're not going to name it something else. Hey, listen, it's sodomites. And listen, and when it comes down to it, you know what? It's an abomination to God. And listen, when it comes down to it, hey, listen, there is man and there is woman. And listen, either you fall into one of those categories. And by the way, God says that you ought to look like the gender that you are. And I remember, you know, here's the thing is, I've said this many times. I remember Pastor Dawson when I was a kid preaching on the unisex movement. And listen, when it come down to it, I remember a lot of people thought, oh, it's not a big deal. It's not going to lead anywhere. Yeah, you have Netflix. Because here's the thing is, sin and flesh, they're never satisfied. And so now we come fast forward a few years, and now we have Netflix putting on the garbage that they're putting on. Why? Because we've allowed sin in America. And listen, we need to get back to an old-fashioned, hey, listen, a woman ought to look like a woman, and a man ought to look like a man. Period. And listen, anything less is sin. And so when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you. You know, it used to be when I was a kid that you couldn't tell from the back what it was. And that used to be weird. Now I tell you what, you get a group of kids and they tell you what, you couldn't pick out one gender out of a whole group. And half of them got their pants so low that the other day I was working and I stopped somewhere and there was a kid that had a hot dog and he's like, oh man, I got a ketchup on my white underwear. And I'm thinking, why in the world is it showing? You know? And, anyways, it's so, that was a little side note. But here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, hey, listen, we ought to get back to the standards and convictions of this book right here. Hey, listen, a man is a man and a woman is a woman. And by the way, there is no alternate gender and God makes no mistake. Did you hear me? God makes no mistake. You are what you are. And so listen, when it comes down to it, when we stay close to our conversion experience, that's what happens. And so here's the thing is, think about how wonderful God's love seemed. And I tell you what, to realize that the very God of heaven left the glory and splendor of heaven. The glory and splendor of heaven. Here's the thing is, you know what? If I was up in heaven, I don't think you could pay me to come here. I tell you what, all you do, one look at Nancy Pelosi and I'd be back up in heaven. You know what I mean? And so anyways, when it come down to it, you know, here's the thing is, imagine leaving the glory and splendor of heaven just to save a sin-sick earth. I tell you what, wow. Now, what love. Think of how sensible faith seemed. I remember as a little boy thinking, boy, I have no other option. I don't want to die and go to hell. Man, I tell you what, you know, I've heard my Sunday school teacher talk about that, and bless God, I want nothing to do with that place. I remember thinking, I have no other option but to get saved. I don't want the other option. And here's the thing is we as Christians, when we stay close to our salvation experience, hey, listen, we realize I have no other option but to walk with God. I don't want to become prey to the devil. I don't want to, you know, here's the thing is, I've seen those morons walking around with their pants around their ankles. I don't want any part of that. And here's the thing is, I like wearing belts. And but listen, when it comes down to it, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Faith seems sensible. It seems sensible to walk with God. It seems sensible to go to God in prayer when we have a need. And here's the thing is, you know what? We must remember our first love. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, by the way, haven't you been enjoying Pastor's Revelation series? I love that. And anyway, these things saith, he that holdeth the seven stars in the right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Here's the thing is, here you have a group of individuals who the Bible says have left their first love. Remember what it was like when you got saved? I tell you what, maybe we should have a testimony time at the end. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, by the way, you know what I love to see? When somebody gets saved, the first thing they have to do is go around and tell everybody they know about it. And I remember D when he got saved. I tell you what, he was telling all of his friends, he was telling all of his family, and you know what, he was burdened for his family and all this other stuff. Hey, we are all like that at one point in time. We must remember our first love. And by the way, do thy first works. I believe that's telling other people about Jesus Christ. And so Gypsy Smith said, I've never lost the wonder of it all. What was he talking about? The wonder of salvation. Here's the thing is you know what? We must walk by faith in the wonder of his love. I tell you what, it's hard to, I mentioned this morning about reading of Calvary. It's hard to read of Calvary and just not stand back and think, wow, wow. And so here's the thing is, as we're to walk safely on a dangerous trail, we've got to walk as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord. Next is walk rooted in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Rooted and built up in him. You know, I had a tree in my yard and in the house I'm fixing up, and it was a pine tree. And pine trees are known for having shallow roots. And the thing about it is that pine tree, it was a big pine tree, and it started leaning right towards the house. And it started, the roots actually started coming up out of the ground, and I knew it wasn't very long before that tree was going to topple. I remember here a few months back when we had strong winds, a lot of pine trees just were toppled over. And you know, the thing about it is there were other trees that were in my yard who it seemed like that, you know what, it didn't matter what happened, they were standing strong. And by the way, there was other trees in the yard where it seemed like every time a stiff breeze went through, it'd lose a bunch of branches. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to be rooted and built up in him. Listen, we're not talking about being rooted in shallow roots. By the way, the shallow roots Christians, they attend church whenever they want. The shallow root Christians, they don't read the Bible. The shallow root Christians, they definitely don't study the Bible. Forget a Bible study. Hey, you know what? I'm busy. And listen, when it comes down to it, I've got my own life. Hey, listen, you know what? I schedule in for church. Okay, so you're a shallow-rooted Christian. And listen, when it comes down to it, listen, we need to be rooted and built up in Him. Why? Because there are dangers along the trail. Hey, listen, my friend, there are a lot of Christians across America who've all prayed to Satan. There are a lot of Christians who are in churches that don't mean a hill of beans, that they're in churches in name only. There are a lot of Christians across America who, you know what, they haven't seen a soul saved in a long time. They haven't been used by God. They're just existing. They're lukewarm Christians. But when it comes down to it, we need to be rooted and built in Him. We should be like the roots of a strong tree, reaching out to take water and absorb nutrients. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, I'll be honest with you. You want to know how deep your roots are? I can't tell you. I don't know you. And you know what? Thankfully, everything's not plastered on a billboard. But when it comes down to it, here's a good question to ask. How do you look forward to coming to church? How do you view church? Is it a requirement or is it something you love to do? How do you view the Word of God? Is it something that just sits on a shelf all week long? Or is it something that is a necessity? Because here's the thing is, when it comes down to a tree, you know what's interesting is without roots, a tree dies. I'm getting really deep right now. You know, here's the thing is, this is going to be way over your head here. Without roots, a tree dies. And by the way, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so here's the thing is, if we're going to be successful Christians, hey, guess what? This is a necessity. I think about Paul in prison, but especially the parchments. He's like, hey, listen, bring my coat if it's necessary, some other books, yeah, but hey, listen, I cannot live without the Bible. Is that our mentality about the Word of God? Is that our mentality about prayer? Pray without ceasing. Is that our, hey, listen, I've got to share with other people about the saving grace or the story about Calvary? Or is it just, nah? How is it? Well, that's how deep our roots are. And let me tell you, like Paul, I don't know the situation of anybody, but like Paul, let me warn you that there are dangers on the trail where we must have strong roots. There will be the winds of troubles and toils, and there will be the winds of attack. And here's the thing is, there's a reason why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. Listen, when it comes down to it, we've got to have deep roots. Or listen, we're going to be like a lot of Christians who, you know what, the first time a storm comes over, maybe even the second or third time the storm comes over, they fall over. And so we must be rooted. You know what we find is look in verses 8 and 9. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophies and vain deceit after the tradition of men. By the way, I tell you what. You know what? We got to know this book right here. And by the way, if we're just holding on to traditions, and by the way, sometimes we do, even we as Baptists, well, that's the way we've always done it. Listen, what we should do is, this is the book we always follow. That's what we should say. And so when it comes down to it, anytime we cling to traditions of men, we're in trouble. But after the rudiments of this world, not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we find that, you know what, we need Christ. And not in philosophy, but in faith. Not in the world, but in the Word of God. And so here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, you know what? We don't need to just know of God. We need to know God. We don't need to know that other people have answers to prayer as much as we need to know that God answers our prayers. Because when the toils and the trials and the troubles come, listen, it's that knowing the fact that God answers my prayer. Listen, I'll be honest with you. There's times where my wife and I were wondering where the money to pay for bills was going to come from. And listen, you know what? God answered the prayer. It seemed like the moment it was due, God brought the money right in. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, listen, we've got to know that we have a relationship with God. We have to know that God answers our prayer. And God, we got to know that, hey, listen, when we read this book, it comes to life and God gives something to me because of it. You know, I'll be honest with you. Too many times we take and we ride the spiritual coattails of somebody else. Children ride the spirit. Well, my daddy's an assistant pastor, or my daddy's a song leader, or my daddy's a whatever. And here's the thing is, you know what? That ain't going to cut it. You need a relationship with God. I need a relationship with God. You need a prayer life. I need a prayer life. And you know what? We can't ride the spiritual coattails of someone in the church. We can't ride the spiritual coattails of a leader in the church or the pastor in the church. We need to know. We need to have a prayer life. We need to know the Bible. We need to be able to study the Bible. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we must find that we need Christ. We see in verse 7, we find the next point. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Walk refreshed in Christ Jesus the Lord, as ye have been taught. You know, the thing about it is that we've been given a lot. You look at the Philippines. You look at some of the missionaries that come through. This is why I love when a missionary comes through, is we realize how good we have it in America. I don't remember the exact number, but they say that the average Christian has somewhere in the neighborhood of 7 or 8 Bibles apiece. There are some countries where they're lucky to just borrow a page. And here's the thing is, we've had it good. And so when it comes down to it, you know, I'll be honest with you. Sitting under the preaching of Pastor Lance, I've learned so much from the Word of God. And I tell you what, we've got it so good. And listen, as ye have been taught, we've been taught a lot from the Word of God. The question is what have we done with it? And we see in verse 10, and ye are complete in Him, which is the God, the head of all principalities and powers. You know, when it comes down to it, these truths should be refreshing us. We are complete in Him. And by the way, He is more powerful than our enemies. You know, listen, when a child looks up to a parent, they've seen their parents do many things. And I'll be honest with you, especially when the children are young, they idolize their parents. And they think they can do no wrong because, you know what, the parent has been protecting them. The parent has been teaching them. The parent has been loving them. The parent has been feeding them. Here's the thing is, there's a wonderful relationship between a parent and the child. But you know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, we need that same relationship with God. There's a reason why God talks about the fact that He is our Heavenly Father. Here's the thing is, you want an awesome study? Just study the names of God and the names that God chooses for us to call Him. And I tell you what, we realize real quick that God is our everything. And here's the thing is, He is more powerful than our enemies. We see in verses 13 through 15, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, praise the Lord, and blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphant in it. You know, the thing about it is that when it comes down to it, the debt of our transgressions of the law have been paid. We looked at the law this morning, and the fact that Christ paid the debt of our sin. You know, Satan and his demons were defeated. And so when it comes down to it, we need to walk refreshed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The fourth point is found in verse 7 again. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Walk rejoicing in Christ Jesus the Lord, abounding with thanksgiving. You know what? The thing about it is we should be thankful to each other. I believe thank you ought to roll off the tip of our tongue. If somebody does something even small, I believe a thank you ought to roll off. But you know what? I tell you what, there is no one in this room, even combined, that has done more for me than our Heavenly Father. And I tell you what, the thing about it is that thank you ought to roll off the tip of our tongue for you guys how much more should thank you roll off the tip of our tongue for Him? You know, the thing about it is too many times we're not quick to say praise the Lord. We're not quick to say, you know what? Here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, I believe phrases like praise the Lord ought to roll off the tip of our tongue. You know, here's the thing is, I love being in a group of people that don't know me. And we'll be talking about something random and I got this on sale. Well, praise the Lord. And they kind of look at you like, what does he have anything to do with it? Well, here's the thing is, you show him he has everything to do with it. And listen, when it comes down to it, by the way, this goes back to that peculiar people. We ought to be abounding with thanksgiving. You know what? We're saved by grace and we ought to be thankful for it. Hey, really, you know, I'll be honest with you. If we realize how much sin we had and how destitute and how condemned to hell we were, I tell you what, we'd be a little more thanksgiving about the fact that Christ paid the debt of sin for me. And so when it comes down to it, we're saved and we should be thankful. You know what? We're no longer in bondage to the law. And verses 16 through 18, the Bible says. And listen, the Bible says we were dead to sin, but now we are alive in Christ. And so listen, we ought to rejoice in the victories in the Lord. And I'll be honest with you, you know what? If we are looking for it, we see the small blessings that if we don't look for, we'll miss. You know, the thing about it is I remember my boss, he got up before the group at Kelly's Propane and he said, listen, let me challenge you. This was a staff meeting, secular workplace, praise the Lord. But anyways, he said, let me challenge you in the next 2 weeks, just try and find everything that you can praise the Lord about. He said, he says, do me a favor, come back and tell me. And you know what? I tell you what, you realize how much you miss. You realize that God works in our lives all the way through the day, and if we're not looking for it, we're not going to notice it. And here's the thing is, when it comes down to it, we need to walk rejoicing in Christ Jesus. We need to be abounding with thanksgiving. And hey, listen, there shouldn't be a thing that goes by that we don't thank God for. Hey, listen, my heart beat another beat. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Hey, I took another breath. You know what? I tell you what, there's a lot of people who have a hard time breathing. Praise the Lord that God gave me another breath. Hey, listen, I've got two legs to walk on, two hands to get in trouble with. And listen, when it comes down to it, listen, you know what? God has given me so much. God has given me a great church. God has given me, here's the thing is, God has given me so much more than I can ever thank Him for. If I started thanking and praising God for everything that He done, you know what? I don't have enough time in the day and night because God has done so much and too many times. The danger is to just let it roll by. In conclusion, you know what? There's dangers to avoid. Pride, false teaching, legalism. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient for our every need. We need to walk by faith to be safe on the dangerous trials. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that... Dear Heavenly Father, I think it's so important, the admonitions of the dangerous trail. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You just help us to stay close to You. Help us to stay close to the time when we got saved. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You just help us to trust in You. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You just bless this invitation. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.